All right. Hey, man, we're going to continue in our text in Acts today in the book of Acts. We're walking verse by verse through that study, through that book. It's our study. It's our story, church, right? It's the story of the church. It's the story of God enabling us to do what he's called us to do. And throughout Acts, we get to see God at work and to see a church that's fully dependent on him. Before we look at our text today, I want us to think about what it means to persevere. If you played sports in school, you probably heard these words from your coach or your teammate or your parents from the stands, like, don't give up. You ever hear that? Right, Tucker, I'm sure you've heard that as you're out running, like, don't give up, finish the race. I remember my freshman year, I had playing with varsity, and I remember having a senior get in my face and not so very Christian words told me not to give up, right? You guys ever have that? Don't give up. To persevere is really to not give up. We get our word from a Latin word that means to keep abiding in something. Be persistent. Keep up the effort to do something and keep doing it till the end, even if it is hard. Today, we're going to see Paul and Barnabas persevere. We'll be in Acts chapter 14, so if you haven't yet, open up your Bibles, your devices. If you need a Bible, we've got some back there that are our gift to you. But go ahead and turn there with me. Leading up to this passage, Paul and Barnabas were sent out as missionaries. They're sent out to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. They're being sent out to preach and to love people and to point people to Jesus and call people to follow Jesus. And what comes out of that is they also start churches. But this mission was going to be tough. It started out with Barnabas, Paul, and Mark. But as we saw last week, Mark didn't make it very far. Right? The Bible says later that Paul felt abandoned by them to leave them to do the work on their own. But Paul and Barnabas continued. They kept going. They faced persecution. They faced rejection. They faced dangers as they traveled from city to city. And it would have been understandable if at any point during this journey they would have said, you know what, we're done. Right? We've done hard work. We've done what we were sent out to do. But they knew the mission wasn't over. They knew more people in other cities needed to hear about Jesus and that Jesus came to die for them and loved them and had a new life for them, and so they persevered. They went from Antioch to Cyprus to Perga to Pisidia, Antioch. They faced tough travels and physical challenges. They faced persecution and threats, and we saw last week that the Jews who had rejected Jesus caused an uproar and the missionaries were physically ran out of the city. But today we're going to see them persevere and continue to a new place 80 miles away called Iconium. And as we walk through this chapter, we're going to see them persevere. They've seen God at work. They got to be a part of God doing so many things. They got to see people saved. It led them to persevere. So let's stand and honor God in the reading of his word. We're going to study the whole chapter today, but we're going to just read the first seven verses together today. Here's what God's word says. You guys follow along as I read. Acts 14, verse 1 says, "In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who is testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Laconia, Lystra, and Derbe and the surrounding region. And there, they continued to preach the gospel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We're going to see brothers in Christ, Paul and Barnabas, persevere. Father, I think many of us in this room are really going to need this message today to persevere. So I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded that you are with us. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show us that you are at work. And God, it's through your strength. So God, be with us today as we hear from your word. God be glorified by the words that come out of my mouth. We pray, Lord, that ears here and ears online would be attentive to what you're saying today, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas out on a missionary journey. Why? So that more people could come to know Jesus and be saved and follow Jesus. And many amazing things happen on this mission trip. Many people are saved, lives are forever changed, miracles are happening, but they're also facing hardship and challenges. We saw last week a member of their team, Mark, chose to leave and head home early. They faced threats and persecution and rejection and tough travels, but they kept on going. They kept on trusting. They trusted in God's leadership, and they trusted that he would provide for them, and they persevere until the job, until the mission is done. As we walk through this, our hope is that when we see this journey and see their perseverance, it will help us know how we can persevere and what God has called us to do. So let's start walking through this. Look at verse 1. Paul and Barnabas had just seen so many people come to know Jesus, but then right after that, they are ran out of that city. And now they've arrived in Iconium. Verse 1 says, in Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed. They trusted in Christ, both of Jews and of Greeks. We'll see this a lot as Paul, this is just his first missionary journey. There's going to be three of them. But as he's on this journey, he's going to take his team into the Jewish synagogue first, and then he goes out into the city to share the gospel. But as we think about perseverance, I don't want us to miss what Paul and Barnabas are doing here. Remember from last week, if you weren't here last week, Paul and Barnabas, they had just left a place called Pisidian Antioch, where many of the Gentiles believed in Christ. Many were saved. The Gentiles said, hey, we want you to stay longer. We want you to keep preaching. These Gentiles were so excited, they went out to tell other people about Jesus. But many of the Jews rejected Jesus, and then they physically ran them out of the city. The Jews that did that. But notice what they do. They go right back to the next Jewish synagogue. Their biggest opposition was unfortunately from the Jewish people. But Paul and Barnabas still wanted their fellow Jews to trust in Christ. And so they courageously go right back into a place where the same type of people are, where they're very likely to receive the same opposition. I think this is perseverance, church. They knew that God was sending them out to reach both Jews and Gentiles. And even though they continually faced persecution from these people, they kept on going to them. They knew God loved them. They knew God wanted to reach them. They knew they were going to face opposition again and again, but yet they go anyway. I think the first example of perseverance, church, is found right here in the verse 1. And it's this, they persevere, and we are able to persevere with courage, church. It took courage for them to go back to the people they knew would continue to oppose them. It took courage to go back to the same group of people that just bullied them and ran them out of the city. God is going to call you and I to do things. He's going to call us to share the gospel and do ministry with people where courage is going to be needed. In fact, God's going to call us to do things in our home and in our neighborhoods and in our church where courage is needed. I think back to Joshua chapter 1, Moses, kind of a big deal, right? Moses had been leading God's people, but God takes Moses home. Moses dies, and then now Joshua is up. God calls him to be the new leader of millions of people. I think this is going to be quite the task. But God says to Joshua in verse 9, he said, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God, read this with me, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God told Joshua, be strong and courageous, because I am with you as you do what I've called you to do. Here, Paul and Barnabas can continue in what God's called them to do. They can do it with courage because God not only sent them, but God is with them. As we follow Jesus, as we are on mission for Jesus, there will be difficulties. There will be challenges to live for Christ. There will be rejection and opposition, but we can persevere with courage, not because we are strong, but because God is with us. And so they persevere. Church, we can persevere in our walk with Jesus. We can be men and women and children of God because He is with us, not because we're strong, but because He's with us. We can be bold and courageous because He's with us. And that leads us right into number two. And here we see in the number two of perseverance is they persevere and we can persevere by relying on the Lord. I really hope we don't miss this one, church. In verse 1, we see that their courage from God pays off. There were some Jews and Greeks who were saved. So it was worth it for them to go to the synagogue. Amen, church? People got saved. Now look at verse 2. But the Jews who disbelieved, the Jews who disobeyed, the Jews who rejected God, stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. So there were some who trusted in Jesus, but then there were others who rejected Jesus and His gospel. But the rejectors didn't just walk away, did they? Instead, they began to cause real problems for these missionaries. Certain Jews stirred up the minds, meaning they get them all worked up against Paul and Barnabas. It says that they embittered them against them. That's an important word. To embitter means to poison them. It poisoned their minds against them. These Jews tried to cause an uproar, telling the local people whatever they needed to hear to get them angry with the missionaries. But I love Paul and Barnabas' response in verse 3. Therefore, because God is with me, because God has sent me out on a mission, because I've got a work to do, because people are getting saved, because the opposition was getting stronger, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who is testifying to the word of His grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. They saw that God was at work, church. They saw people getting saved. They knew they were on the winning team. The Lord was moving and the Lord was using them. And even though there was a storm brewing on the outside, church, they stay longer. Just a side note. If the enemy is active in attacking, if the enemy is pressing in against what you are doing and what God is doing, that's not necessarily a bad thing. When the enemy is threatened, he is going to attack. The devil is threatened here. He's losing his grip on these people. And so the attacks come. Church, we got to know when God is at work, when He is moving, be ready for spiritual attacks. Be ready to stand firm in the Lord, church. Look up Ephesians chapter 6 and read through the armor of God. Stand firm in God's armor and keep your eyes on Jesus. When God is at work in your family, when God is at work in your community, when God is at work in your church, in your job, keep your eyes on Jesus and stand firm, because the attacks are going to come, because the enemy is a little ticked off. And He's going to want you, He's going to want our church, He's going to want your family to stop and to quit. But let's follow the example here. It says they spent a long time there speaking boldly. And how did they do that? Very clearly says, with reliance upon the Lord. As Paul and Barnabas were speaking about Jesus and speaking about the grace that God gives us, the people are hearing them say things like that. Even though you can never earn God, even though you can never deserve God or be good enough for God, even though your good can't outweigh your bad, it is God's grace that allows you and us, right, to be saved and to be forgiven and to be rescued and have the shame removed and be a part of the family of God. That's God's grace, church. We need to hear that this morning. Man, there's nothing we can do, but He does it, church. That's His grace. And that's what the missionaries are telling them about Jesus and His grace. And the Jews who still reject Jesus, they're ticked off about that. Because the Jew says, no, you need to do this, and you need to look this way, and you need to act this way. And so they're enraged, and they're stirred up and poison the mind of others against these Christians. But Paul and Barnabas persevere. They keep on. Verse 3 says that they spent a long time there. They continued to share Jesus. They continued to talk about God's grace. They kept on meeting people and talking about God's love for them and that salvation is available for them through Jesus alone. They persevered. And they were emboldened to speak with reliance on the Lord. Church, a lot of times in the Great Commission verse in Acts 1:8, we miss the first part where we just jump and say that God, Jesus, has sent us out to be his witnesses. But before that, it says, I'm giving you the power. I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you out to tell others about me. But Jesus says before that, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to empower you to do that. And the church, they immediately understood that they needed God. They were fully reliant on God to do everything that he's called them to do. And this is a common theme for Acts. They were prayerfully dependent and fully reliant on God. They knew they needed him. Men, let me speak to you for a second. Stop being so prideful, myself included. We need to set aside our pride and say, God, I need you. Ladies, same thing. God, I need you. Young people, God, I need you. They knew they needed God. Church, when we forget that we need God, and we do it daily, when we forget we need God, that's when we get in trouble. That's when we give up. That's when we fall short. That's when we fall into sin. When we rely on our own strength instead of relying on the strength of God. If you forget everything else, don't miss this. You need him. No matter what it is that you're facing, we can persevere in what God has called us to do when we rely on him. And so they're sharing Jesus and telling others about God's grace, and this causes quite the division. In verse 4, it says, but the city, or the people of the city, were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. That word apostles there is not talking about the title of apostle, it's the messenger. So it's both Paul and Barnabas. But they're split. And we still see that today. The gospel has the power to unite all people through Christ. But let's own up to it. The gospel also causes division. Because the gospel is truth that is either received or rejected. People either believe or they build up a wall. The gospel can bring life and joy, but for those who reject, there is hate and hostility and death. Division. But throughout all of this, they continue to persevere in what God called them to do with courage and with dependency on God. Here's the message they were preaching. It was all about grace, church. And so Paul and Barnabas persevere. They've been here for a while sharing the gospel while many Jews are running around poisoning people's mind to get them to reject and to go after these Christians. And then we come to verse 5 and things take a turn. We saw last week that Paul and Barnabas were ran out of the city they were in. But here it's about to get worse. It's about to get physical, church. It says, and when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to mistreat and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding regions. And they continued to preach the gospel. God is really using them here to do miracles, to love others, to point them to Jesus, to the one that can save them. They're preaching about God's grace. And because of all of that, people want to kill them. And in verse 6, Paul and Barnabas, they become aware of this. They know this is no longer just threats. This is the real deal. Those who rejected Jesus hate this message so much that they're ready to kill Paul and Barnabas to get them to stop sharing it. And so the Bible says that they fled to other cities. They get out of town. Now this is quite different from what we read earlier. In verse 1, we see them being courageous, right? They're going from place to place, right? And still they're staying there and they're sharing the gospel. They're courageous. But now they flee. So what's the difference, church? I think it's godly wisdom. It says they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe and the surrounding region, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Church, here's the reality. They knew more people needed to hear the gospel. They knew that God was not done with them yet. And now they know that people are trying to kill them, and so being wise, they move on to the next place. One commentator said it this way, just short and sweet. The missionaries were brave, but not stupid. Sometimes the best way for the gospel to be made known is for you to stay right where God has called you. Other times it means, hey, maybe God's going to send you, he's using this to send you to the next city so that you don't die, but you can keep going. Where do they get the wisdom from? Well, I can tell you, they didn't have the all-wise, the all-knowing Facebook or Twitter or media news at that time. That's a joke, church. If that's where you get your wisdom, you're going to the wrong source, I promise you. They had wisdom because they walked with and they sought the Lord. These were men of prayer. These were men of fasting. These were men that leaned on God. They sought God regularly to hear from them. They were in the Word. They relied on God. And here, because they're already walking with God, they had godly wisdom. James 1:5 tells us this. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it would be given to him. But let us ask in faith without doubting. When we face challenges, when we face difficult situations and hard decisions, seek the Lord. Not Facebook, not Fox News or CNN or MSNBC. Seek the Lord. We seek him in prayer. We go to his word. What does God's word already say about this situation? Go to others who love and faithfully follow Jesus and ask him to pray with you and ask him to speak into it. But church, we can persevere, we can seek and live out godly wisdom. These missionaries know if we're dead, we can't share the gospel. And so they went on and continued to tell others about Jesus. And so when they leave, they head out from Iconium to Lystra. And this is a much different place. This is a much different city. We would look at Lystra and probably call it a small country town. Probably what we would call it. It's about 18 miles south. It's a small town. Had a strong Roman and Greek presence. There were some, but not many Jews that lived there. A lot of your scholars will say that this place was known by the people were less educated and they were gullible. That's how they were described. And as we've mentioned numerous times, we preach and share the same Jesus, the same gospel, but in a way that the audience can relate and understand. And so Paul and Barnabas go into this city. They know the people they're going to, and they're going to point them to Jesus. And then in verse 8, it says this, at Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke. What's he speaking about? He's speaking about the gospel. He's speaking about Jesus. He's speaking about God's grace. He's speaking about Jesus being the one that came and died and rose again, and he can save them. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped up and began to walk. So they're out sharing the gospel. And then here we see Paul given the God-given ability to make this man walk. He'd been lame from birth, and now by the power of Jesus, this man begins to walk. It says that this man had the faith to be healed. What does that mean? It means he believes in Jesus. He believes in the Jesus that Paul is talking about. He believes in his power. And so Paul gets to heal him by the power of God. And all those around, they see this. And they've never witnessed anything like it. And they didn't really know what to think, but they start thinking that Paul and Barnabas are mythological gods that have come down to them. Look at verse 11. When the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they raised their voice saying in the Laconian language, the gods have become like men and have come down to us. And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. These people think that Paul and Barnabas are Zeus and Hermes, and so they gather together and they want to make sacrifices to them. But we see Paul and Barnabas respond in verse 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes. That's a Jewish expression of mourning and distress and blasphemy. They tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. We're preaching the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Paul and Barnabas are very adamantly rejecting any glory that they're trying to give them. They know the glory belongs to God. I love this passage out of 1 Chronicles 29:11. I think Paul and Barnabas believe this, what it says about God. It says, "Yours, God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty. For everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. And you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler over everything. Power and might are in your hand. And it's in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." They're rejecting receiving any praise and glory, and they're giving it to the Lord. These people are trying to worship them and making sacrifice to them. But Paul and Barnabas, they're saying, "Hey, we're just human. We're just trying to point you to God. We're just trying to point you to the Savior." Look at verse 15. They tell him, "We're just people who preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things. Turn from any false god. Turn from a man-made god. Turn from anything that you've put on the throne of your heart that has taken God's place. Turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in him. In the generations gone by, God permitted all the nations to go their own way, and yet he did not leave himself without witness. And that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Paul knew something about these people. They were polytheistic. They believed in more than one God. And so he uses that to their focus on that to point them to something they would understand. He talks about creation, and he points them to the one who created all things. He points them to the one who is over all things. Paul says, "Don't worship us. We worship the one who made these heavens. We worship the one who made the earth and the one who made the sea and everything in it. We serve the one who provides you and us with all the rains and all the food we need," right? This one true God is the one who satisfies and brings joy into your hearts and lives. That's how he begins his message. He found a way to relate to them and speak truth into their life. So that's not necessarily a note on perseverance, but it's a great example on how we can meet people where they are and point them to the greatest gift ever. Whoever God brings into your life, I think we should try to get to know them and understand who they are and seek God and say, "God, how can I connect them to you?" And Paul's message seems to be cut a little bit short, but we'll see here in a little bit that they're going to have a chance to come back to them again. But God is using them in this city to share the gospel. But in verse 19, guess who we see again? The opposition. Look at verse 19. "But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Church stoning, they would throw someone down in the middle of them, and men, usually men, but sometimes all the people in the city would grab these large stones and just chuck them at you until you're dead. Last week, we saw some Jews in Pisidian Antioch run Paul and Barnabas out of town. And when they were ran out of town, they were ran out for telling people about Jesus. And then we saw earlier today that others who rejected Jesus in Iconium, they actually attempted to stone them to death. And now those two groups, they have come together to Lystra to stop the spread of the gospel of Jesus, to kill Paul and Barnabas. And so they find Paul, they drag him out, they stone him, they suppose he was dead, and so they left. But by God's grace, Paul was alive. But notice what Paul and Barnabas do in verse 20. They persevere, church. Don't miss this. It says, "But while the disciples stood around him," so other Christians have gathered around him, "he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to another place, to Derbe." Like, Paul is stoned. The Jews think he's dead, but it says that Paul gets up, he goes back into the city, and on the very next day, the two of them head to the next place. That's perseverance, right? Why would they do that? Church, why would Paul and Barnabas keep going? I think all of us would say, "I think you've earned it. Here's your medal. Go home." But they kept going. Why? Because they were driven. Church, this stepped on my toes this week, so get ready. You know, it's going to hurt a little bit. They weren't driven by comfort. They weren't driven by victories or success or by technology or whatever it is that we're pursuing in the world. They weren't driven by those things. They were driven by the gospel of Jesus. They were driven by the love for lost people. Paul and Barnabas persevered with courage because God was with them. I read a story this past week where a father went into the water because his three children were drowning. He persevered. He found all three of them. He lost his life, but the three children survived because he persevered, because he was driven by love for children, for his children. Paul and Barnabas persevered because of their love for the lost, because of the gospel. Paul and Barnabas persevered with courage because God was with them. They persevered fully relying on God and his strength and not their own. And they persevered by seeking and trusting in godly wisdom. And now we see them persevere after a brutal beating, right? An undeserved beating. They persevere, church, and we can persevere because we are driven. We're being gospel driven and we have a love for others. Paul and Barnabas loved Jesus. Paul and Barnabas, they love the good news and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus. They knew it was real. They've experienced it. They knew it was worth it, church. And they wanted everyone else to have what they had. I hope we never understand. I don't think I'll ever understand why we don't share Jesus. You find a diet program that works, you want the whole world to know about it. You find a makeup that works, you want the whole world to know about it. You find a restaurant that you love, you want the whole city to know about it. But we find a Jesus that rescues us from the pits of hell, and we don't tell anybody. But they're driven by the gospel of Jesus. They're driven by a love for others, right? They could have simply said, listen, church, they got saved. They could have simply said, hey, you know what? We're saved, we're forgiven, we're going to heaven. And like many other Christians, they could have just finished out their days in comfort with their families, playing video games, watching TV, and enjoying life. But they didn't. I know they didn't have video games, okay? It didn't come around until Flintstones' age. You guys know who the Flintstones are, right? Okay. Well, that was funny, okay? Church, they were driven. They persevered because they knew that too many people would die and go to hell without Jesus. They were driven because they knew the answer to everyone's brokenness was Jesus. They were driven because they knew Jesus loved everybody else and that his salvation was available to all who called upon the name of the Lord. They loved them, and so they kept on going. They persevered because they were driven by the gospel and love. Church, let authentic life be known that we are driven by Jesus and his gospel and for love of others. That's a really good place to say amen, church. Let's be reminded of what Jesus did for us, and remember, God used another person to tell you about him. And now Jesus wants you to persevere and to go tell others. For the last one, we come to verse 21, and we see something really important. It says this, after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. So they've gone to all these cities and towns sharing the gospel, seeing people saved, churches are getting started, and now they're done at Lystra. They began their trip back home, but they do it backwards. They go back to the cities and the towns that they've already visited. They go back to the new Christians. They go back to the new churches. They go to check on them and strengthen them, encourage them and teach them and disciple them. Verse 22, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Everywhere they went, people were saved, church. Everywhere they went where people were saved, there was now a church. And Paul and Barnabas go back to them and help them with their leadership. They help them get elders and pastors in place to shepherd them and to teach them and to care for them and to equip them. They pray for them and commend them at people in these local churches. Verse 24, when they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. They kept going back through most of the places. They preached the gospel and they encouraged the local churches. And then we come to verse 26. From there, they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been committed for the grace of God, for the work they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they spent a long time with the disciples. So what are they doing? After visiting these churches, they go back to their own church. They go back to the church that sent them out. They go back to the church that they served with. They go back to the church that was supporting them and praying for them. And I believe in these last seven verses, we see more perseverance. They could have said, hey, we're done. Let's go home. But they first go back to these new churches. They love them. They disciple them. They teach them. They help appoint leaders to help equip them. And then they head back to their local church. Their actions show us that they were able to persevere, church, by being devoted to the local church. This is a devotion we've seen all throughout Acts. These men, Christians, they were devoted to the teaching of God's word in the church. They were devoted to prayer in the local church. They were devoted to serving in the local church. They were devoted to being with one another in the local church. We, as Christians, we are called to not only be Christ followers, but be a part of his church and be an active part of it, church, to be devoted to the church. If God's called you to Authentic Life Church, he's called you to be devoted to this church. He's calling us to love one another, to encourage one another, to grow together, to help others grow, to serve, to be on mission together, to rejoice and suffer together. Church, I think this devotion led Paul and Barnabas to persevere. They knew they had their church family behind them to help them keep going and praying for them and supporting them. We need one another to persevere, church. Did you hear that? We need the Lord and we need one another. You want to persevere in your walk with Christ, be devoted to him and be devoted to the local church. We come to the end of the chapter. This is the end of the first missionary journey. Church, I don't know where you are today. I don't know where each and every person is. Maybe you're going strong. Maybe you're saying, man, I don't really need the perseverance. It's not a struggle for me right now. I'm good to go. But be encouraged and equipped right now because hard days will be ahead. Put the tools in your belt so that you know when that hard time comes, hey, this is what I need to do to persevere. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling. Maybe there's a struggle for you to persevere. And you needed to hear from God's word this morning how these people persevered. Maybe that's what you needed this morning. Church, I'm so grateful for this church family where we can help each other to persevere. Let's help each other keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's help each other walk courageously, church. Let's help each other be wise and walk in godly wisdom. Let's help each other persevere in what God has called us to do. Let's pray.